264 on the first verse.
Free from the law, happy condemned.
Seconds, and now we are free. There's no condemnation.
What a good song. What a great message. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Indeed, He has. Rudy,
yes, sir.
When were you saved?
When was I saved? I was saved in December the 2006.
About 4 years ago. Amen.
Oh, boy.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's pretty good. That makes you 4 years old this December, right?
Right.
Amen. Yeah. That makes these birthdays that roll, the other kind of birthday rolls around, much more palatable when you just think about, well, I was born again how many years ago? And so it makes you feel a little younger. You know, when you're, what, 93, is it, or what? Yeah, okay, all right. We're going to sing Happy Birthday. You join us, will you? Here we go. Happy Birthday. And a blessing.
The blessing is that the Lord saved the sinner such
as you. Amen. Yeah.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. Isn't that a blessing? Ah, amen. Let's ask God's blessing on the service tonight, shall we? Rudy Jr., would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the good God you've been to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you for the services that you've been doing with us and working powerfully here so far.
Amen. All right. As you're greeting one another, make your way over and wish Rudy a happy birthday. All right. Thank you.
number 256. 256. If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. Number 256.
If you from sin are
on the third verse, are you one more song, number 257. Look and Live. Number 257. Let's sing it out on the first verse.
I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. You may be seated.
All righty. Glad to have each of you here tonight. And I am looking for... Don't see... The Brooks, are you here anywhere? Not yet. All right. I remember Jeff, if you would, in prayer, Jill's brother. He's getting ready for surgery here in just a couple of weeks on his neck. Pretty serious surgery, if you'd remember him in prayer. My nephew, Tyler, is in for surgery on Wednesday. serious back operation. He's had a number of back operations, and right now he's got a rod back there, and the hardware that they put in is infected, and so they're having to go in and clean everything out again. They went in earlier, I think it was Friday, they went in and did some more surgery and tried to clean some of the infection out, and now they've got to go in Wednesday again and try to reset the hardware. I don't know what all's going on in that, but it's really, really serious stuff. And he's just a young guy. I don't know what's Tyler, Ron, 25 maybe? Okay, yeah, something like that. He's fairly young family, and he's been pretty much out of commission for a long time because of this injury. And so if you'd remember him in prayer. He needs Christ as well, and so remember him in prayer. And Caitlin, are you back there? What happened yesterday? Stand up so we can see you here, all right? So what happened yesterday? You got saved? Is that what you said? Okay. How come you're so bashful? You're not that bashful at home. When you're speaking up, everybody can hear you, right? So, amen. Praise the Lord. She got saved yesterday morning after the morning service. We're thankful for that, what God's done there. You be praying for one another. Praying that God will work in our service here tonight. Trust you've been inviting folks out as well as praying for one another. The Lord will work in each of our lives. Tremendous messages yesterday morning and evening. If you missed either one of them, they're both on the Sermon Audio website. They're up and ready to be listened to. You know somebody who might benefit by listening to them. Invite them to tune in and be able to listen to those. These are being broadcast as well. Now, don't use the Tuesday, Wednesday night as, well, I can get it on the internet and I don't need to come. And if anybody's listening to me like that right now on the internet, shame on you. I know, Brother Davies, I'm not supposed to do that. Okay, I understand. But I had to do it just once in my lifetime. So, all right. So if you're a church member and sitting at home and you ought to be here, shame, shame on you. But you better pray double hard for tonight's service, once for you and once for us. All right. So we are glad you're here. We're looking forward to what God's going to do. We've been praying for Brother Gable today, praying for one another, and trusting God's going to work here in our midst this evening. So without further ado tonight, I'm going to turn it over to Brother Gable. And you open up your Bible, open up your heart, let God do something here. In fact, we got one of your church members here.
I saw that.
Yeah, they came back. Yeah. Isn't that good? Amen.
All right. Like a bad penny.
Amen. All yours.
Oh, amen. Well, you ready for a little bit of more game show trivia tonight? Want to call it that. We've looked at The Price is Right, and we've looked at You Bet Your Life. Of course, it's all under the umbrella of Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Everything in creation, whether it be something that God's created, points to Almighty God. What man does with it points to Almighty God in some way, shape, or form, if we'll take the time to look for Him, all right? Now, I'm going to start with a question tonight. How many of you this evening are willing to indicate just how old you are? By raising your hand, did you remember watching an old black and white TV show hosted that for a time, for a long time, by a man named Bob Barker? If you can remember watching a show by the name of Truth or Consequences, if you can still get your arm up. Rudy's proving that he can. Anyway, you can put it down now, Rudy. You proved to me that you're not 95 after all. Truth or Consequences. And you know it's old when it says, in living color. Man, that used to be a big thing, right? Amy, why are you shaking your head? You're not that old, are you? This show known as The Truth or Consequences first aired in March of, somebody want to guess? 19, wasn't the 1800s in MTV yet. 19... No, back further than that. 1940. It might have been on radio at first, I'm not sure. From 1940 to 1978, because it went to 1978, that's how I got to see it. Amen? Because I'm not that old. I'm not that old. 38 years it ran. Bob Barker was the host for 19 of those years, from 1956 to 1975. There was also an attempt to bring it back at one point in time in 87 and 88, but it didn't survive. Just didn't catch on again. The game show was so popular that, would you believe this, in December of 1948, in the Action Comics series, Superman was a contestant on Truth or Consequences. If you can find that comic book and it looks good, you probably have some money in your hands. Amen. But if you would, bear with me a few minutes as I quickly fill you in on how the show worked. Because, well, just in case you're like me, you're too young to remember or never saw it. In fact, when I first, this was the first message in this series when I preached it at our church. This is the one that started this series off, if you will. But I was confused at first with thinking back to those old TV game shows that I sat as a little kid and watched with my parents. And I was a little kid back then. Amen. I got confused between Truth or Consequences and I've Got a Secret and To Tell the Truth. You know, in my mind, they just kind of ran together, you know. And by the way, I said this was the first series. Actually, this series of messages goes back to Pastor Hammett. Back about 20 some years ago, he had, and I believe, Frank, you were one of them, that were asked to stand up in the service. Hello, my name is Doug Hammett. And then somebody else stood up. Were you Frank? You remember that? You don't recall. All right. You're getting old, too. He had three people stand up like they did on To Tell the Truth and say, I am so-and-so. But anyway, so it's his fault. But anyway, they all kind of run together in my mind, so I had to look it up. I was a bit foggy on how remembering how the show functioned, so I, in a nutshell, here's what I found listed on Wikipedia, and you know that's always right, right? Anyway, on the show, people had to answer a trivia question correctly. And it was usually an off-the-wall question that really no one had an answer to. Sometimes it was just a bad joke that they pulled. And they had about 2 seconds before something called Beulah the Buzzer would go off. You know, and their time would run out. In the rare occasion that a contestant happened to say the right answer, they actually just wrote it off and asked them another question because they didn't want them to have the right answer. If the contestant could not complete the truth part, which they didn't want him to, then there would be consequences, usually a zany, embarrassing stunt. And from the very start of the show, most contestants purposely answered wrong because they wanted the consequences were the star of the show. You know, who wanted to know the truth? Well, now that we've had that little bit of dose of TV game show trivia, you're probably wondering, well, all right, how does this all tie in? How does this point to God? Truth or consequences? What in the world is this? Well, again, I remind you that we're talking about how art, loosely so-called in old TV game shows, art imitates life, even spiritual truths, if you will. So therefore, I've chosen to have Truth or Consequences as a message title for tonight, but I've also given it a better described subtitle, if you will. That subtitle is Accept the Truth or Expect the Consequences. Accept the Truth or Expect the Consequences. Now, yes, indeed, life, I suppose it could be considered as a high-stakes game of truth or consequences. And in a manner of speaking, God in His Word does indeed declare and demonstrate. He does indeed indicate through His commands, and He also illustrates through history that you and I, we mere human beings, we would be wise to accept the truth, or if we don't, expect the consequences. Now, I know that's not normal, right? We see the truth about something and we say, well, that won't apply to me. That'll only happen to somebody else. The consequences will all fall on somebody else. No, it doesn't usually work that way. Sometimes it takes a while for the hammer to drop. But the hammer will drop. In fact, the Bible is replete. It's filled with multiple passages of Scripture that kept flooding into my mind as I thought about this subject. Some are in rather long passages, like the one I'm going to ask you to turn to in Deuteronomy chapter 28. But while you're turning there in Deuteronomy chapter 28, there's a whole host of other principles that tie in with this that are very short and direct and to the point. I'm going to have Chris put a couple of them up here on the screen. For instance, there's a brief statement, for instance, in Proverbs 13:15 that says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor, you all know it, right? It's hard. It's hard. Now, think about that statement for just a moment. Does it not really say truth or consequences? I mean, if you will, the good understanding of the truth and living it results in favor, blessings. But fighting against the truth, resisting the truth, not understanding and not being willing to live by the truth, transgressing against the truth will result in consequences. Consequences that will make life, the life of the transgressor, hard. Now, I submit to you that that verse is indeed instructing us in harmony with tonight's message title, subtitle, accept the truth or expect the consequences. There's many other verses in the Bible. But for time's sake, let me just bring a New Testament verse into view here, if you will. Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. The Bible says there, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, consequences, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. I mean, can you see the title? Can you see truth or consequences wrapped up in that? Those that accept the truth and live by it experience the goodness of God. And those that rebel against it can expect, better expect, to face the severity of God, the consequences of their sin. Yet one more. A New Testament verse. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. In a nutshell, do we not see in that verse truth, accept it, or consequences? Expect them. Folks, contrary to popular opinion, yeah, even contrary to a lot of modern-day so-called Christian preaching and thinking, the Bible, God's Word, does indeed emphatically, explicitly, and expressly expound and exhort mankind on the principle of truth or consequences. On the principle that undergirds tonight's subtitle, if you will, accept the truth or expect the consequences. And nowhere is that principle more emphatically illustrated than in God's instructions to and his dealings with his chosen people, the nation of Israel. And that finally brings us to this evening's rather lengthy text. It is long, but it proves a point, as you'll see here, as you just hang with me for a little while, all right? So if you would, follow along your Bibles as I begin reading in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 1. And as I read what I see, first of all, as the truth in verses 1 through 14. The truth that Israel was, and we are to accept and enact the truth in our lives, or expect the consequences, which he goes on to further elaborate in verses 15 through 48. They could expect to face consequences should they refuse to obey the truth. Ultimately, it ends all the way back in chapter 30, verse 19, where Moses caps it all off with an exclamation point. But we'll get to that in just a minute. So if you would, follow along first as we look at the truth in verses 1 through 14. Verse 1 says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods and fruit of thy body and in the fruit of thy cattle and in the fruit of thy ground in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure in heaven to give rain unto thy land in his season and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations and shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above all, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to go to the right hand or to the left and go after other gods to serve them. Now that's the truth section of this passage. But then there's, well, that verse 15 begins with an ominous three-letter word. But. That begins the consequence section. Follow along. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the Lord, unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe all that, to do all his commandments, and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doing, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. Tired of consequences yet? We're just getting started. Verse 23. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee, thou, until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed unto all kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. I get tired of reading it too. Verse 28, the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart, and thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. I think that's enough. It goes on like that to verse 45 and beyond. Until we finally flip over to chapter 30 and verse 19, where I believe Moses just puts a basic capstone on it all, an exclamation point, a summation in one verse, chapter 30 and verse 19. Bible says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. Might I change it to truth or consequences? Life or death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Let's pray. Dear precious Heavenly Father, again, I don't mean to trivialize your wonderful, perfect, holy word. But Lord, this one, I think, is the most clearest of all the messages. We've been given truth. And should any of us in this room ignore it, there will be consequences. For some, consequences in this life. For others, it might not be consequences until the day that they stand before the Lord and hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you, in everlasting fire. Truth or consequences? Dear Lord, please fill the speaker. Fill me with your power, with your spirit. Help me to say exactly what you would have said, that it might impact hearts and lives in the way you would have it done this evening. Whether it be a wayward Christian, or whether it be someone here tonight that's heard the truth of the Word of God and is closing their ears and their eyes to it, help them to not leave this place without understanding there will be consequences. There's just no other way. Dear Lord, have your way in hearts and lives tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Truth or consequences? That was a man-made TV show, and it was basically rigged. It was. And by that I mean the question that they initially asked, that I was telling you about a little bit ago, the supposed truth that was sought after, if you will, was not being honestly sought after. I mean, on that TV game show, truth was secondary, and the consequences were primary. I mean, let's face it. People didn't turn on that show to find out truth. They turned on that TV show to watch people go through consequences. You know what I mean? I mean, that's why people watch, what's that one, the new show? Win It in a Minute, or whatever that show is, you know? That's why you watch it, to watch people make a fool of themselves. You don't want to learn truth from something like that. But you see, unlike life, the consequences on the show were the highlights. But let me ask you, in your life, when consequences come into your life, are they highlights? They're usually lowlights, aren't they? They're usually the bottom side. It's not that way in real life. None of us, no, not one of us, likes the idea of ever facing consequences for our actions. But the truth is, every time that you or I refuse to accept the truth, or we choose to ignore the truth, every time we do it, we can expect to face some consequences. Every time. I could go on with a whole laundry list of things. For instance, those that neglect to accept the truth about the cancer-causing effects of smoking, well, they better expect to face the consequences one day. Those that ignore the truth about drug use, well, if you want to do that, you're going to face the consequences one day. Maybe well down the road, but it'll be there. You want to ignore the truth about drunk driving? Well, you can expect at some point in your life you're going to suffer the consequences of your actions. I mean, you could even point to something as simple as driving down the highway. If you choose to ignore that stop sign, you choose to ignore that red light, you choose to ignore that speed limit sign, you better expect that one of those days your sin will find you out. One of these days, you better be ready to face the music, expect the consequences to come your way. The simple truth is, truth or consequences, accept the truth or expect the consequences to come into your life somewhere along the way. I mean, that principle does indeed affect virtually every area of our physical existence. It affects every area of our, if you want to call it, legal existence with the laws of the government of the land. But do not miss the fact that it also affects your spiritual life. In fact, not only does the quality of your life here on this earth hinge upon it, but so also, and even more importantly, does your eternity. Your eternity hinges on it. Now, for me, one of the biggest challenges in preparing this message was found in just how to attack such a large portion of Scripture. I didn't even read half of it. And actually, this subject, this idea of truth or consequences, really is found in your Bibles from Genesis chapter 1 to the last period in the book of Revelation. It's cover to cover, if you will, from Genesis, in which Adam and Eve's response to or acceptance of or ignoring the truth that God had given them was tested. And when they failed, consequences. Then there's the experience of the children of Israel in Egypt when God instituted the Passover. All of those that accepted God's truth and sacrificed that lamb and took the hyssop and put it on the posts and on the lintel, all those that did that, they expected and they did receive a consequence. You know, we have a habit of thinking consequence only in a negative way. But consequences are neutral. They're only negative or positive based on what we did with the truth. A consequence of obeying the truth for the children of Israel is the death angel passed over. But those that ignored the truth got another consequence. They found their firstborn dead that morning. Truth or consequences. That's then followed by the historical accounts of the children of Israel constantly being confronted with choices. One in particular in which they were given the choice to accept God's promise to give them the promised land, even against overwhelming odds. Accept the truth or expect the consequences. And instead of trusting and accepting the truth of God's word, they experienced the consequences of 40 years of wandering in that wilderness and all of those of that generation dying during that wandering. Truth or consequences? You see, the Bible is filled with one illustration after another of this very basic principle. There's too many to even list here tonight, both on a national level for a nation, but also on personal levels. For instance, in the New Testament, the rich young ruler faced the choice, follow the Lord and serve him in truth or hold on to his riches and expect the consequences. Truth or consequences. Even up until the end of the book of Revelation, yet again, one illustration after another, this principle can be found for many. For instance, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, multitudes that refuse to accept and believe the truth of God's word Bible says will be sent strong delusion. That they should believe a lie. That is as a consequence of their unbelief. Multitudes, for that same reason, will stand one day before the great white throne judgment of God. And because of their unbelief, they will be cast with the devil and his demons into a devil's hell. Because of truth or consequences. Just that simple. Even for many Christians that choose in this lifetime to live by sight instead of by faith. Instead of by faith in the Word of God, which is truth. Christians that choose to live carnally instead of spiritually at the judgment seat of Christ will hang their heads in shame. That's their consequence for not accepting and living by the truth of the Word of God. Yes, indeed, the principle of truth or consequences, accept the truth or expect the consequences, it's all around us. We're surrounded by it. It's found in natural things such as gravity. You go up to the 10th floor of a building, you better accept the truth about gravity. Because if you jump out and say it's not going to affect me, you won't be jumping out again. Ever again. You'll jump right into eternity. It's found in the laws of nature. It's found in the laws of our nation. But again, do not neglect to pay attention to how it is also found in spiritual things, like the hymn writer's words when he said, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with the truth? If you don't accept him, you better be prepared to receive the consequences. So you see, choosing just how to address this subject was indeed a matter of great question for me. However, I do believe the Lord has led me to take what might be considered to be an unorthodox method of preaching on a service. Maybe we'd be fitting more fitting in a Bible Institute class or a Sunday school class of sorts. But I believe it is the way that the Lord would have me to approach this subject tonight. So tonight, in thinking about truth or consequences, let me begin this evening by first challenging you in the area of comparing the text. And that's what we're going to do first. Now, as I'm sure you all noticed, as I read through the bulk of chapter 28, reading it can be somewhat laborious and perhaps even called monotonous. However, in my study of this passage, I believe that the Lord opened my eyes to something that I generally miss. Probably read it 100 times in my Christian life, but I probably missed this many, many times. But it just opened my eyes to how this idea of truth or consequences is emphasized by God over and over again. And what the Lord led me to do is just do what we can do so easily with our computers today. I printed out verses 1 through 14 on one side of on one piece of paper and called it, if you will, the blessed side, the positive side, the truth portion. And then on a separate piece of paper, I printed from verse 15 on down to verse 48. And in so doing, my eyes were opened to something that I had not noticed before. And that something is this. Now, on the truth side, you notice over here, blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field. You know, we went through all that a few minutes ago, but here's where it gets interesting. When we put up the consequence side, there's only one word change. Verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Verse 16, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and accursed shalt thou be in the field. Then you have verse 4, blessed shalt thou be, shalt be the fruit of thy body. But then you drop down to verse 18, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. It's perfect. Verse 5, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Up to verse 17, cursed shall be the... It matches word for word, one side to the other perfectly. That stood out to me. Now, I don't know about you, but I found that simple little comparison to be absolutely astounding and eye-opening. And yet, that's only the beginning of this passage. Looking ahead to what follows, both on the blessed and cursed side. Go ahead, Chris, go to the next slide. It continues. Now, we're not going to go into all the details, but look at the similarity again. The truth. The Lord shall, the Lord shall, the Lord shall, and the Lord shall, and the Lord shall, and the Lord shall, and thou shalt. Look at the other side. Now, there's a couple extra verses in there, but it follows the same basic pattern. Over and over again, God is trying to drive a truth home. It's almost line for line, and at times, word for word, it's truth or consequences. It's accept the truth or expect the consequences. But even that's not all that can be found here in this chapter. As you may have noticed, this chapter and the curses upon Israel that it contains doesn't end in verse 29, where my comparison ends. But rather, it goes on to verse 48, where I stopped reading, or where I was going to stop reading, but I didn't belabor the point. And even beyond that, all the way down to verse 62. And it was taking note of that that led me to introduce my second point to you this evening. So after first comparing the text, allow me to secondly spend a little bit more time contrasting the tape. And you might be thinking, what in the world are you talking about? Well, I'm not a boxing fan. I remember Larry Holmes was around and the years when Muhammad Ali and George Foreman and Jumping Joe Frazier were going at it. I used to follow it a little bit then. I haven't followed it since Larry Holmes retired. But every time a big fight came up, you could count on it being in newspaper or being on a TV sports cast. They would do something called the tail of the tape. Now, in the tail of the tape, what they would do is they would measure the boxers. The height of one compared to the height of the other, the weight of one compared to the weight of the other. They even did a thing called, I think they measured the reach. I think it was from the face of the fist to the armpit they measured, because that would give one fighter an advantage over the other, because he wouldn't have to get in as close to hit his opponent. All of those things were something called the tail of the tape. So what I'm talking about when I look at this passage of Scripture now, I want to look at the tail of the tape between the blessings and the cursing, between the truth and the consequences. Now, here in our passage, the tail of the tape has a very clear message for us. And yea, I might even call it a warning of epic proportions. Starting with the word blessed in verse number 3 and measuring right up to the word but in verse 15, the tail of the tape for biblical blessings, if you will, or for biblical truth measures. Chris, you can catch up to me a little bit. One more. Blessed verses are 12, with making up 359 words. Then God goes on to begin a very long list of curses. Beginning in verse 16, measuring to the last negative consequence, curse, pronounced against them, that's found down in verse 62, that's a total of 47 verses. Almost four times the number of verses used to describe, by God to describe the blessings of obedience. But there's also a grand total of 1,359 words involved. Again, almost four times the number of words that the Lord used to describe the declare the blessings of accepting His truth. Now, what does that tell us? Does that tell us that the Lord just got on a roll here, you know, that He just got excited and kept going? Is that telling us that He's trying to intimidate us? He's trying to scare us. Would you believe that? He's trying to scare us into submission. Is He attempting to, you know, is He trying to terrorize us? Or is He just simply attempting to warn us of the dire consequences that giving into sin brings into our lives?
Right.
Truth or consequences? Accept the truth or expect the consequences. Could this tale of the tape be telling us that man is more greatly motivated by negative consequences than he is by positive consequences? When the American Cancer Society puts an ad on television, do they usually stress the benefits of not smoking? Oh, you'll be much healthier, your lungs will be clean. They might say that in there somewhere, but more than likely they're going to stress the ravages, the consequences. Even when you talk about a commercial, I don't think it's on the air anymore. Years ago, it used to be the Fram filter guy. Remember what he said? Pay me now or pay me later. Buy an oil filter now for $5. Or pay me $1,000 later to repair your engine. He was stressing the consequences, the negative aspect of ignoring the truth. Accept the truth, change your oil, or expect the consequences of having your engine blow up, right? Now, yes, it'll cost you something in the moment, but it'll cost you much, 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 much more later. The question that then comes to mind is, could this be where we're missing the boat today and therefore ineffective in reaching souls for Christ because we have a habit of stressing heaven? I mean, for instance, it's often been said that Jesus spoke more frequently about hell than he did heaven. Negative consequences. Today's Christianity looks at the mention of sin's consequences, the mention of eternity in hell, as an unacceptable, politically incorrect scare tactic. You're just trying to scare me. That's how they look at it. So they focus on the glories of heaven. And there are great glories in heaven. Praise the Lord, there are. But what quality of converts are we getting today? What about the quality of converts? What kind of servants for God are we getting out of this approach? What we're getting is carnal, cold, callous converts, if they're even converts in the first place. We're getting apathetic, lifeless, listless servants that find more time for all the other carrots that Satan dangles in front of them. You know, perhaps as Christians, if we want to reach souls for Christ, we should take our cues from God instead of from man. Instead of listening to what's acceptable to the world and what's politically correct, let's not be afraid to set forth the truth about the consequences. Amen? The truth about the consequences that await those that do not accept the truth, that they must be born again or else they better be prepared for the eternal consequence of eternity in hell. Truth or consequences. And what about today's careless carnal Christians? They too need to hear that, yes, their eternity is secure. If they know Christ as their Savior, they can't lose their salvation. Praise the Lord for that wonderful truth. But they also need to hear about the consequences of their carelessness and their carnality. They need to hear about souls lost in hell that they could have reached had they tried. Of lost souls to whom they, in their lackluster, sloppy Christian living, they became stumbling blocks to those that tripped right into a wide open pit of hell. You know, we find more words of warning to God's people in this regard. We find it throughout the Bible in both the Old and New Testaments. In the Old Testament, for example, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14 says this, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we find almost the exact same warning given to Christians where it says there, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or evil." And with those two verses fresh in our mind, I'd like to direct your attention back to Deuteronomy 30 now. And Moses' conclusion on the matter found in verse number 19. To which I've given the title, to my third and final point, the conclusion to either terrorize or treasure. The conclusion about all that we've looked at that should either terrorize us or something we can treasure. And actually, I do believe that the text leading up to verse 19 is equally important. So please follow along there in Deuteronomy 30. I'll begin reading in verse 11. And go down to verse 19, Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. "For this commandment, which I command thee this day, is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. And that I commend thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgment, that thou mayest live and multiply, and that the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. And that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record against you, that I have set before thee life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Now, did you take note of our principle in those verses? Yet again, showing up time after time. Truth or the words are different. It's a lot more elaborated upon, but truth or consequences. Accept the truth or expect the consequences. I mean, seriously, think about this. Did you ever notice that whenever you and I, or anyone else for that matter, whenever we do something wrong, we have a habit, we have a tendency to look over our shoulder to see if anybody else noticed. Let me ask you, where did you learn to do that? Did your parents tell you? Rudy, did your dad tell you that when you go into the cookie box, the cookie jar and steal a cookie, you always look over your shoulder to see if mom's looking? Did he teach you that? No, he didn't. He didn't. You mom taught you. No. You knew to do that instinctively. Where'd that instinct come from? It's called your God-given conscience. It's so simple. It's your conscience. It's called conviction. And what it is the truth that God planted in your heart as a human being. It's that truth that you know instinctively via your conscience. Maybe you heard it somewhere along the way, like from your dad, don't steal cookies out of a cookie jar, or from mom. You heard it somewhere along the way, but it's that voice tapping you on the shoulder and saying, truth or consequences? I could get myself in trouble here, so I better look over my shoulder, see if anybody's around. In effect, it's what it is. It's, think of it this way. It's the truth that you know terrorizing you. It's scaring you. It's shaking you up. It's keeping you awake at night. It keeps you looking over your shoulder to see if somebody's watching. And let me tell you, they are. Right. It's God. God is watching. He doesn't miss anything. And he's recording it all. He's not only watching, he's recording it all. So that when you stand in front of him one day, you can give an account of every idle word. Of every truth that you neglected to obey. And every consequence that either came into your life or someone else's life. Because of your disobedience. That ought to terrorize us. That ought to scare us. He's recording it all, but you also know, I'm sure, in the normal course of things in this world, it's not just standing in front of God where consequences come from. Because as we disobey, a crop begins to grow. A crop begins to grow, a crop of consequences that will catch up to us one day. And that thought ought to terrorize us. But instead, what do? Well, instead, as the scripture says, we sear our consciences. We grieve the Holy Spirit. But you know what happens? That doesn't stop the consequences from piling up.
That's right.
It's as if you set up one domino. And then another gets set up, and another, and another, and another, and another, and another, and then all of a sudden somebody knocks that first one over. And then you know what the average American Christian does? He says, God, how could you let this happen to me? Isn't that the way it works? How could you let this come into my life? How did this happen when all the times it was you setting up the dominoes? It was you setting one domino up after another. Basically knowing in your heart that sooner or later somebody's going to knock one of them down and the whole world's going to come crashing down.
Yeah.
Truth or consequences? Accept the truth or expect sooner or later the consequences are going to come knocking on your door. As the Lord made clear in verse 14 of Deuteronomy 30, he says there, the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart. Why? That thou mayest ignore it. I hope that's not what your Bible says. That thou mayest do it. God put the truth at their fingertips. And by the way, he's done the same for you and me. He's put the truth in our hands. That we can read it, that we can memorize, we can take it wherever we go. And then Moses goes on in verse 19. We hold in our hands, he describes there in verse 19, life and death, blessing and cursing. And then for, as if he had to tell us, I mean, how dumb are we? I'm giving you a choice of life or death. Oh, let me give you some advice. We need advice to choose life? Evidently we do. Evidently we do. when we choose to do evil, the truth that we ought to, that ought to indeed terrorize us. But on the other side of the coin, when we determine to obey the truth, knowing that we are doing that we are doing so is something that we can treasure, because we can look forward to hearing him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." There's the treasure side of the equation. That's indeed a thought that you and I ought to look forward to, ought to treasure. But we can't have that thought. We can't claim that promise if we're ignoring the truth, if we're doing what seems right in our eyes. It's like the Lord said to Cain before he murdered his brother Abel in Genesis 4:7. It says there, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" Let me just say, blessed. "And if thou doest not well, sin liest at the door." Consequences. Truth or consequences. Folks, the evidence of this principle being true, physically speaking, is all around us. However, what you and I ought to be even more concerned about is how that principle, the principle behind truth or consequences, is also most certainly and eternally true, spiritually speaking. As the prophet Amos said to Israel in Amos 4:12, he says, "And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." I'm going to keep my side of the equation, he says. You can count on the truth being fulfilled 100% completely. So accept the truth or expect the consequences. If you will, the Lord is saying, since I will surely see that my word comes to pass, that the principle oftentimes acted out of my word, I'll see that it comes to pass. Doesn't it just simply make sense to you to not wait any longer and pile up any more dominoes? And right now, prepare to meet thy God, because you will. Because you will. Now, if you sit here this evening and without a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never been born again, if there's not a time and a place that you can look back to in which the Lord made you a new creature from the inside out, not you from the outside in, but him from the inside out, because you repented of your sin and turned your life over to him. If you don't have that to look back to, if you don't have a time to look back to a place where you heard and you heeded God's call, for instance, it's called in Luke 13:3, "Nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Isn't that saying it again? Isn't it really again saying accept the truth or expect the consequences? And then there's John 3:3. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Again, accept the truth or expect the consequences. Tonight you can prepare to meet your God by repenting of your sin, putting your faith in him. Now, let me not stop there. Let me address the Christians for just a minute. This principle also applies to all of us that are saved. Heed Paul's advice in Ephesians 5:15-16, when he says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." God's always so very tactful. Not as fools! Very tactful, you know. "See then ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Don't allow yourself to become careless and callous or carnal, and thereby lose your rewards. Make your walk a walk noted for accepting and applying the truth to your life, and thereby avoiding the consequences. Amen? Whatever your situation, take Amos' advice tonight. Prepare to meet thy God. You can't prepare later, by the way. You must prepare. Prepare to meet thy God, because truth or consequences will certainly come true in your life. You can count on it. Amen. With that, let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Let's close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Dear precious Heavenly Father, oh Lord, it would take somebody totally blind and deaf not to see from cover to cover in the Scriptures how truth or consequences replays itself over and over and over and over again. Every time truth triumphs, and if it's ignored, consequences come. It affects the lost and the saved alike. Christian, when you ignore the truth, It's like you're taking a stone and throwing it out into a still lake. It doesn't only affect you. The ripples of your disobedience affects others, too, and there will be consequences. But more important than that's important, but more important than that, if you sit here tonight without Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you know you're lost. And yet you ignore, you stick your fingers in your ears, you cover your eyes. Expect consequences because you ignored the truth. I ask you to respond, and should you put it off tonight, my prayer is that in your ears will ring for the next week, accept the truth or expect the consequences. You are choosing your consequences. Don't make that mistake. Won't you come tonight? Won't you come? Dear Heavenly Father, please have your way in hearts and lives here this evening. Work in hearts, I pray. I've done the best I could tonight. You take it from here, Lord. And please apply your word to people's hearts and bring them to the foot of the cross, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, I'd ask you to please stand to your feet. Truth or consequences? The truth is there. It's in our fingertips. It's within our reach. We've heard it and heard it and heard it. Why do we choose to ignore it? And then act like, how could this happen to me? You brought it upon yourself. It's just that simple. Accept the truth. Or expect. Be looking over your shoulder. Because the consequences are on their way. It's just a matter of time. Much better to cut them off at the pass. And right now, prepare to meet thy God. Brother Hammond. Thank you.
Why do you wait, dear brother? Oh, why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in His sanctified throng. Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? What do you hope, dear brother, to gain by a further delay? There's no one to save you but Jesus. There's no other way but His way. Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Why do you wait, dear brother? Oh, why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in His sanctified throng. Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Do you not feel, dear brother, His Spirit now striving within? Oh, why not accept His salvation and throw off your burden of sin? Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Why do you wait, dear brother? The harvest is passing away. Your Savior is longing to bless you. There are danger and death in delay. Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now?
Amen. Songwriter said, "The harvest is passing away." Not been around a real long time, but almost 40 years a Christian. The harvest in America isn't as ripe as it once was. And I'm not too sure that it's because America's gotten harder. I'm not too sure that it isn't because we haven't watered the soil with our tears to prepare the ground. Ask, and it shall be given you. We've done some asking. But the question becomes, are we seeking and ye shall find. Implies a little more intense effort. And knock, and it shall be opened unto you. It implies an intent. Not willing to just kind of, let's just let it all happen, but intent. Let's go after the lost. We've been busy this summer. But let's not forget, just because the summer's over doesn't mean God can't save. Let's pray God will give us folks. Let's pray for folks. Let's pray for those that are on our prayer list. Let's go and seek them. Let's go and knock on their door. But let's don't forget to go to the door of heaven and talk to our God about it first. Because I believe He's the one that prepares the hearts. And maybe if we spent more time weeping over those that are lost, we'd find ourselves coming with the sheaves at the other end of it. Glad you're here tonight. Great message again. One to certainly ponder tonight. Wouldn't hurt you to miss some sleep to ponder it. Let God do a work in your life. Let's follow the truth. We'll not be sorry if we do. Let's close with a word of prayer tonight. I'm going to ask Frank, if you would, to voice our prayer this evening, please. Amen. Good night. God bless you. 7 o'clock tomorrow night. See you here.